This is the word of God. Now, therefore, O sons, listen to me. For blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death. The word of God. Well, normally I would just pray right now, but since we just got done praying, I feel like the Lord is indeed with us and blessing us. And so let's take a look at what God is saying here. When I was covering these verses really in my private devotional time, I was looking at verse 32 in which it says, "Oh, therefore, O sons, listen to me." And at first I was struck with how many times Solomon says that in the Proverbs, saying, as a father to his son, listen to my instruction. Especially you see it through almost every chapter, in the first nine chapters, Solomon calling out to his sons. But really, as I started meditating on this passage, it was even more apparent that it was God's voice saying, listen to me, you Christians, you sons and daughters of mine, listen to my wisdom. And as I was thinking about that, I noticed that really, you're not going to listen to God unless you are saved. You're not going to want to listen to him. You're not going to want to hear what he has to say. You're going to pass over this very quickly and go and do your own thing. And so these are words from our Father to us, and he's wanting us to take attention to what he has to say. And to be a Christian means that you've repented. God has come into your life and you've come to him and you know him. And you've repented from your sins. And it really struck me. I started thinking about that and it became a penitent man. And so the name of this sermon is called The Penitent Man. I got that from an Indiana Jones movie. If you think about the Indiana Jones movie, The Last Crusade, at the end of the movie, Dr. Jones finds himself in a cave, and he's in this cave and he's looking for the Holy Grail, and he's got three tests before him. And as he walks through this really narrow tunnel, he's got this book out, and everybody that's tried to go through there before him have died. They've got their head got chopped off. Okay. And so he kept saying, penitent man. And immediately when he clicked, he knew it was a man that was on his knees before God. And he went to his knees. Then the blade went directly over his head and he was able to pass that test. Well, a penitent man is one who knows the Lord. He knows them because, as we think about the definition of what it means to be a penitent man, it means this: someone who has sorrow of heart on the account of sins, crimes, or offenses. They're contrite. Sincerely affected by a sense of guilt and resolving on amendment of life. A penitent man is one who resolves to have his life amended by God. And so tonight we're going to see how a penitent man in the Proverbs resolves in his life to have it amended. The writer of the Proverbs calls us to listen and to listen to God's wisdom. Only sons of the living God want to listen to him. We've said that. And so we want to hear what God has to say. And so these words become really especially important to us tonight. So as we look at this text here, 32 through 36, I want you to notice that God calls the penitent man to listen to four instructions in this text. We're to listen for four instructions. The penitent man is to or is resolved to follow God's ways, is determined to heed instruction, is relentless to find favor in God's sight, and is unbending in his stand against sin. A penitent man is resolved to follow God's ways. Proverbs 8:32 says, "Now therefore, O sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways." God wants you to keep his ways. It's very simple. He tells us what to do and where to do that. He does it because he's good. He does it because these are the best things that you could ever do in your whole life. There's nothing better than this. And yet when you come into the Christian walk, you find that it's more difficult than it sounds. How do I keep these things when I'm fighting against a sinful nature? Now, there's a promise here. And the promise is that we're blessed when we keep God's ways. So how do we keep God's ways when it is harder than it seems? For example, in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, it says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God is so far greater than us that on the surface of it, it is impossible to keep his ways. It is impossible to keep his ways. When you think about what Isaiah is saying there, that is where a text that we see the incomprehensibility of God. God is saying, "I am so far greater than mankind. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways." And it seems like it could be hopeless to us. Matthew Poole, who really was a great commentator back when Spurgeon was preaching. In fact, Spurgeon says that if I had a set of Matthew Poole commentaries, I'd be set. And he really liked Matthew Poole. Matthew Poole says this about the difference between our ways and God's. He says, "Our disposition is vastly different from God's. If any man provokes us or injures us, especially if he do it greatly and frequently and maliciously, we're very slow and backward to forgive him. And if you do or seem to forgive, a promise to forget and pass it by, yet you retain a secret grudge in your heart. And upon the least occasion and slight offense, you forget your promise. And you are soon weary with forgiving and prone to revenge yourselves upon him. But it's not so with God, for he is slow to anger and ready to forgive all who truly ask. It does not matter how many or how great or how numberless your sins are. God promises mercy and pardon, and it shall be made infallibly good to them. And therefore, you need not fear come to God or to find mercy and acceptance with him, because he's different than us." So then how do you follow his ways if they're so different than our own? Well, the penitent man, as we've said, is one who has been transformed, changed from the inner man, from the soul. He's been saved. And there's this desire to want to follow God, to want God's blessing. But we first have to know, what are his ways? What are God's ways? In Psalm 119, verse 5, it says, "Oh, that my ways be established, to keep your statutes." And God's ways are his statutes. Plainly, it is the word of God, and we're to walk in its way. And the penitent man has repented of his sins, and so he resolves in his heart that this life change is something that needs to happen. Now, I know, and when you think about that, we're reformed, and we know that God sovereignly comes into our life, and he changes us. But let's not forget that we have a responsibility also before God. And we want to resolve in our heart that we want to follow his ways. We want to follow in what the Lord has to say through his word. We're responsible before God. It's just not all him. I've talked to people who get a little taste of the Reformed theology and they just say, well, it's up to God. We'll just let God do it. He does everything. And He does. But you have responsibility too. And in that responsibility, you must resolve in your heart that what has happened, you want to follow in. You want to follow the Lord. This change doesn't happen when we resolve in our heart, when we ask the Lord to change us, we want to know His ways. It just doesn't all happen at one time in the sense of understanding the Word and studying. And so we must resolve to do that. Yes, God has called us before Him and made us righteous before Him through Christ's blood. But to understand the Scriptures, it takes work and study. And so you got to resolve to study God's Word and to ask Him to help you to understand it. If you're resolved, you will continue in this process. We call it the process of sanctification, that God is doing a work in you. God's ways are His Word, and you will follow it. And so secondly, a penitent man is determined to heed instruction. It really leads us into the second part. Proverbs 8:33 says, heed instruction and be wise. Do not neglect it. And the word heed means to use caution, care. Watch for danger. Notice. Give due attention. It's serious. Take a steady look. God's word is nothing to be sloughed off. It's serious, and God does not take His word lightly. But to be wise, you don't want to neglect the instruction found here. And we're often reminded, and I am, about neglect when it comes to Job. Think about Job in Job chapter 1. His sons and daughters were out, and they were having a feast. And it says that he rose early in the morning, and he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each one of his children, thinking that perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And that was Job's regular custom. He was so concerned about God's instruction that even if one of his children might have neglected it, he wanted to take up for them. Job was concerned about God's ways. He didn't want to neglect his instruction that he had received. Do you heed instruction from the Word? When you think about neglect, how do you neglect the Word? Well, here's some verses of Scripture that talk about what God requires of us when we think about God's Word, so that we wouldn't neglect it. In Joshua 1:8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. Or in Psalm 119, verse 15 and 16, it says, I will meditate upon your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Or Psalm 119, verse 48 says, and I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love. I will meditate on your statutes. You cannot be determined to follow the Lord without private meditation or without the practice of meditation on God's Word. You cannot be determined to follow in Christ's footsteps without having meditation. Meditation is to dwell on anything in thought, to contemplate, to study, to turn and revolve any subject in your mind, serious thinking it through. And to do this, you must ask the Lord to help you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Your determination should lead to you never giving up in a pursuit that all that you can do every day that you live, that you will follow in God's ways and instruction, and that you will not neglect the Word. We're to meditate on it all the time. And that means that the penitent man is also relentless to find favor in the Lord's sight. He resolves, he's determined, and now he's relentless. In Proverbs 8:34 and 35, it says, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorpost. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Our text tells us that we're to listen, we're to watch, and we're to wait. And it's obvious that if you want favor from God, you'll listen to Him. But this listening is combined with watching at the gates daily, waiting at the doorposts. And this imagery is a person who is in daily contact with the Lord at His house, relentlessly coming over to the Lord's house, trying to meet with Him at His gates of residence, and then moving to His door, waiting to speak to Him, all with a view that anything that God tells you to do, you will do. I can't wait to meet with God today. All that He asks of me, I will do. I will pray without ceasing. I will read His word every chance I get, looking to Christ as my life's model, living for Him, always wanting more conversations, more interaction with God. Again, Poole states this, waiting for a person of eminence is what this imagery is about. Waiting for a person of eminence that might be admitted to speak or converse with Him. Going to the king's palace, looking for Him, and coming to hear what He has to say. When you take hold of this Bible, do you feel like you're entering into heaven and that you're speaking directly with the King? When you read of His ways and His statutes, do you promise in your heart that you will do them? You will not stop until God gives you victory in that? That's what the psalmist is talking about here when he says, watching daily at gates and doorposts. Remember, the Bible in the New Testament says that we're to have our mind on heaven and the things of heaven. We're to have our mind where God resides, where He's at. And we're to be meditating upon that and asking the Lord to help us. A penitent man does this. If you have a heart like this, God promises you favor. And finally, a penitent man is unbending in his stand against sin. Proverbs 8:36. But he who sins against me injures himself, and all those who hate me love death. Sin is not only against God, but it's against yourself. Proverbs states that you injure yourself. He that sins against God by neglect, by contempt, or rebellion against God's commands, wrongs his own soul. Some commentators would say that you'd be guilty of self-murder or soul murder. They hate God. You reject, or those that sin against the Lord wantonly, they reject Him, they disobey His counsel, they live wickedly. And on that account, God says, you hate Him. A penitent man knows where he has come from. He knows the sin that used to entangle him. He has felt this a sting of sin's bite. He knows the injuries that it has caused him. So when he reads passages like this, he's the one that's on his knees, repentant before God, with a real knowledge that sin does injure not only your relationship with God, but yourself. And he's committed in his heart. He's unbending in his stand against sin. He refuses to act like the world or to follow in their paths. And the question we come to is, how unbending are you when it comes to sin? I was counseling a guy not too long ago, and he told me that he was a follower. He said, I'm a follower. If I'm with bad company, I'm bad. That's why I like to hang out with Christians, because it helps me to be good. To be unbending against sin takes leadership. And it takes your leadership and reliance on Christ's power to not follow the world. How do you tell a follower? I'm just a follower. Whoever I'm around, that's who I am. I'm a chameleon. When I get around these people, I'm like them. When I get around these people, I'm like... them. That's not a penitent man. A penitent man who's repented before the Lord and is unbending towards sin, when he sees the crowd going off in a way that he knows is directly against what God teaches in the Scripture, he will stand. He will take the leadership. If the crowd goes that way, he goes the other way. He follows God's ways. And that's what Solomon is teaching his son. He's telling them to listen, and God is telling us to listen, and really to fight against sin. The New Testament tells us to slay it daily, every day, that you're to wake up, you're to put on the armor of God, and you're to make a stand against sin. By meditating on God's word, by looking at his gates and his doorposts, wanting to communicate every day with him, being determined to heed the instructions that you find in this word, and being resolved to follow in God's ways, you will be a penitent person. Let's ask God to help us to be more like a penitent man and follow God's ways and heed his instructions so that we might bring glory to him. Let's pray. Lord, we do come before you and we ask that you would take these words from your book, that we would be indeed listening to them, that we would heed your instructions, that you would strengthen us in our weakness, that we might stand against sin every day as we come before you this week. I pray that you would give us even a new resolve to meditate on your word every day. And I know sometimes it's a struggle, even for me, Lord, to take time out of my day to have a devotion before you. But how important is that? It's more important than really these other things of life. To come before your throne in heaven, to know you, to read your word, to meditate on it every day, even as we go about our work, thinking of our prayers before you and thinking of the word that we've read that day. Help us to stay focused and not be distracted by this world and the things of this world. Lord, we know that some people say that we could be too heavenly minded and no earthly good, and we know that that's false. Oh God, if you would just cleanse our minds even this day so that we might follow you even more. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.